Father, we thank you for your word. You sent your word and you healed us. So we expect today, Father, when we hear your word, that we are healed. Spirit, soul, and body. We know that is the living word, Jesus Christ, that you sent. And that we are born again by an incorruptible seed that's been planted inside of us. And in this seed is everything we need for life and godliness. Out of this seed flows my healing. Out of this seed flows my deliverance. Out of this seed flows everything I need. My giftings, the anointing, everything we need in life comes out of this seed. Father, you sent your word and it healed us. Father, let your word go deep inside us today, Father. We desire not to just hear it, but to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will do what we hear today. We are blessed people because we hear and we do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Psalms 133. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation first. Unity. A song to bring you higher. Mm-hmm. By King David. Psalms 133. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. Mm-hmm. It is as precious. What is as precious?
Unity.
Sweet unity.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet unity is compared here. It says, it is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared, here's another comparison, can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. From this realm of sweet harmony, God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life evermore. From this sweet harmony, God will release something. God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life evermore. Do you know the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ? From that promise flows all the other promises of God. If it was not for the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ, we'd have no other blessings. We can understand that, right? It started with his life, right? And from his life flows all other life. I'm going to read it for you from, and all other blessings. All other blessings start with that eternal life. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Translation. Excuse me. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil of consecration poured on the head, coming down on the beard, even the beard of Aaron, coming down the edge of his priestly robes, consecrating the whole body. Y'all, God is saying something. Holy Spirit is saying something here about harmony, sweet unity. He's comparing it to something. He's saying this is what it does. It's like the precious oil of consecration, consecrating the whole body. It is like the dew of Mount Hermon coming down on the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So we would do good to study this sweet harmony and the two things God compares it to. This is what God compares harmony, unity among believers. And let me just go ahead and say, that unity is not when I agree with you and you agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Learned this definition long ago from Tracy Stewart and it has stuck with me. Unity is when you agree with God and I agree with God.
Mm-hmm.
We are in unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's unity.
Mm-hmm.
Unity is God's idea.
Right.
Yes.
So you can't leave God out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be unified with someone, you have to be unified as a believer in the Word of God.
Yes.
That's what it means to agree, to touch and agree, that we touch God's word and we agree. We touch the living word Christ and we agree. Amen. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to give us a definition of harmony. And then we're going to break down this scripture. And there is so much here. I learned so much. I tell you, I had no idea. No idea. Harmony. This is a dictionary definition, okay? Harmony. Orderly or pleasing arrangement of parts. Oh, I could just stop right there. I could just stop right there. Right there. We could just stop and have church right there. A pleasing arrangement of parts. By what every joint and ligament supplies. You don't have to go looking outside the body to bring anything in. The body has everything it needs. It's in the house. It's in the house. Woo! And if you don't see it in the house yet, it will be manifest and sit right down right here in the house.
Jesus.
I haven't even started. Orderly or pleasing arrangement of parts. Quality or condition of going well together. Ooh, the quality. See, God's not interested. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God's not interested in quantity. God is interested in quality. Quality. God's not interested in how much scripture you can quote. He's interested in how much of the living word of God is inside of you, and you live out of that word every day.
Amen.
You live out of that word every day. It's taking root in you. Orderly or pleasing arrangement of parts. Quality or condition of going well together. The sound of two or more musical tones in accord. They're different, but they harmonize. The sound of two or more musical tones in accord that go well together. A group or grouping of passages on the same subject.
Oh my God.
But from a different story or account. A grouping of passages on the same subject, but from different stories or accounts, showing their points of agreement. Thus we have the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will tell different accounts of what they saw, but it all comes into agreement. A grouping or group of passages on the same subject from different stories. Y'all, our diversity is our strength.
Amen.
You can't tell it like I tell it.
Amen.
I can't do it like you do it.
Amen.
But our diversities, a group of passages on the same subject from different stories or accounts showing their point of agreement. Harmony.
It can be said many ways, but it's all one.
Harmony. I think my favorite one here is the orderly or pleasing arrangement of parts, quality or condition of going well together. Keep that definition of harmony in your mind. That's what sweet harmony is. Sweet harmony is not when we're all the same.
No.
It's not a cookie cutter. It's not a cookie cutter. It's not a cookie cutter religion. It's not a cookie cutter faith. We're different. We're different. But yet our differences, when they're brought together in the same focus on the same thing in an orderly arrangement, they come into agreement. They focus on the same thing. And what is that? That is to please the Lord. That's sweet harmony. That is harmony. Okay, back to Psalms 133. We're going to break this down. See? And maybe we always thought harmony was that we all thought alike. We all liked the same things. We all did the same thing. Everything, you know. Well, you know, that. You know, just let me go ahead and say that. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Actually, that's manipulation. Actually, manipulation is that we've all got the flow the same way and do it the same way. That's manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
If you get out of that groove and you don't do it the way it's supposed to be done, I'm going to draw you back in and I'm going to make you do it this way. That's manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is witchcraft. Mm-hmm. It's witchcraft.
Yeah.
God says, it's your diversities but flowing together, because you've made the decision. You've made the decision that I'm gonna find that sweet place in the Lord with you where we can come together and we can agree. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, Psalms 133. Okay, it's as precious as what? The sacred scented oil. Look what God's comparing unity to, sweet harmony. He's comparing it to the sacred scented oil. Okay? The New Living Translation says it's as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon. So he compares this sweet harmony among believers, unity, to the sacred scented oil and to the refreshment that comes as the dew that comes down from Mount Hermon. And God says, when this sweet harmony is in place, I command the blessing. Mm-hmm. Unity is where God the Lord, that's why you can above all things. I reiterate, and I heard it again from a sister weeks ago, I heard it again, God, whatever you do, do not get into strife. Mm-hmm. Do not get into strife. There are six things that God hates, and the seventh is an abomination. He who sows discord among the brethren. Unity is where God the Lord pronounces his blessing, even life forevermore. So, let's go over and let's look at what God compares it to. Unity is as precious as the anointing oil upon Aaron's head. Oh, I was so blessed by this. I'm not going to go into this in depth because I know some of you have already talked to me about wanting to teach on the anointing spice, on the spices that Esther was anointed with. So I'm not going there. I want somebody to develop that, to teach that, Nancy. And Carmen has also spoken interest in that. So I'm just going to give us enough today to bait us. To make you hungry. So I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And it's just something about holding a book. I have this electronic thing I could go there, but I just gotta hold this book. Exodus chapter 30. So Holy Spirit is comparing this sweet harmony among believers to the oil, the anointing oil that flowed down Aaron's head, his beard, to the end of his, well, the word says, it's not what you think it is, but it says it flows down his garment. But wait till you find out what it really is, and some of you teachers might already know what it really is, but that's okay. I came undone when I just came undone. Okay, 23. Exodus 30, starting at verse 23. We're going to start at 22, actually.
22.
Unity is as precious as the anointing oil. Unity is as valuable to God. It is like the anointing oil. When something says it's like, it's to be compared to, it is as. Stop and look at it. God is making an analogy. The sweet unity is like the anointing oil. So how precious is the anointing oil? Well, let's look and find out. How precious is it? Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12 and a half pounds of pure myrrh, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant calamus, and 12 1/2 pounds of cassia, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also get 1 gallon of olive oil. Like a skilled incense maker, blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Different ingredients blend together to make one thing. Are you getting it? Very diverse. Use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the wash bin with its stand. Consecrate them to make them absolutely holy. After this, whoever touches them will also become holy. Mm-hmm. Are you getting it? Mm-hmm. Anoint Aaron and his sons, also consecrate them to serve as my priests, and say to the people of Israel, this holy anointing oil is reserved for me from generation to generation. It must never be used to anoint anyone else. And you must never make any blend like it for yourselves. Mm-hmm. It is holy. You must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes a blend like it or anoints someone else other than a priest will be cut off from the community.
Well.
Are you getting the picture how sacred and how holy this anointing oil is? And what did Holy Spirit compare it to? Sweet unity. Sweet unity is no wonder the enemy tries so hard to separate and divide the body of Christ. It is the set apart, consecrated, holy. Do not touch my anointed one oil. Unity is as precious as the anointing oil upon Aaron's head. It's an oil of consecration. My God, my God, my God, my God. This sweet unity sets us apart. This unity sets us apart. And God says, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
The minute we as a believer walk out of this sweet harmony, we open the door.
Yeah.
God says to give praise where praise is due, give honor where honor is due. I tell you, I've seen God so work in Tammy's life.
Amen.
That you, Tammy, you will not, you're in her presence and you want to even speak or even lightly even mention something about another ministry. She will always, because she walks in love, she will always turn it back around. That's where God commands the blessing. Okay. Look at this. Look at these ingredients. I'm just touching on this briefly because I know some of you are going to study on this and you're going to teach us on it. I'm not going to steal your thunder on this. It's different ingredients, diverse ingredients, very opposite ingredients, but one anointing oil set apart by God. Only God can put things that are so different together and make them one.
Yes.
Only God can do that. Look at this. Myrrh represents love. I'm just touching on it. I'm not stealing anybody's thunder. Myrrh represents love. That's the first ingredient. And it's got 12 and a half pounds. First ingredient. Second ingredient, cinnamon, is represented by gentleness. It's got 6 1/4 pounds. Half the amount of myrrh. Right? That's right. Then you've got calamus. Calamus represents meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Mm-hmm. Meekness is that I don't have to prove that I'm right. I'm going to leave it up to God to vindicate me. That's meekness. Jesus did not validate himself. He left it up to God to defend him. Meekness is knowing when to keep your mouth closed. And not say anything and leave it up to God to validate you. And God will openly validate. I said, God will openly validate you. Openly. Then we have cassia, which is represented by long suffering. Meekness, I don't know if I told you that, but we already know it. We read it. Calamus has 6 1/4 pounds also of calamus. Then we have cassia, which is represented by long suffering. That's 12 and a half pounds. Now, isn't that interesting that you got as much of long suffering as you do love? And isn't it interesting that meekness and gentleness You have to have just as much meekness as you do gentleness to equal the 12 and a half pounds of love and long and forgiveness. They all work together. They all blend together. And then you're going to pour it all, you'll put it all into olive oil, a gallon of it. Gallon is represented by forgiveness. Forgiveness. Yeah, think about that. That's right. All of these ingredients are put into forgiveness.
Just shows you how important forgiveness is.
It's very. It's very, very important. A gallon of olive oil, a gallon of forgiveness. My Lord. And in there is the love, the gentleness, the meekness, and the long-suffering. This compound was very fragrant. Aaron was not qualified to minister until he was anointed with this oil. He couldn't even minister until he was anointed. It was not for common or ordinary use. It was all effused and poured forth compared to oil shut up in a vessel. Okay? Listen, it didn't mean anything until it was poured out. It was anointing oil, but it meant nothing until it was poured out. Until it was effused, then the fragrance filled the place. The fragrance, as it was poured out, the fragrance just filled the place and the anointing. God's anointing. See, it's the same thing inside of us. It means nothing. I'll shut up in here. The anointing all shut up in here doesn't accomplish anything. It's when it's poured out. It's released. It's effused. It gives off an aroma to those around us. That's when it becomes useful. The anointing is like, you know, I've heard, it's not just to make you feel good. The anointing is for strength and power to do God's work. That's what the anointing is for. Okay. Not common to ordinary use. Oil effused and poured forth compared to oil shut up in a vessel. Remember the woman that anointed Jesus' feet for his burial? And they criticized her for it? Oil poured forth that releases the fragrance. Not the anointing oil of every Levite or priest. But Aaron, the high priest, who is a type of who? Christ. And who else? His sons. Are we the brethren? We are the brethren. We are the brethren. We are a type of the Son. We're the brethren of Christ. Aaron, so this anointing oil was intended spiritually now in the New Testament. It's Christ and His anointed. It's Christ the anointed one and His anointed. We are the brethren. We spiritually have taken the place of the sons of Aaron. You see that? Because it was meant only here for the high priest, his sons. Aaron being a type of Christ. It flows down Aaron's beard, flows from his head, dripping down the beard, all the way down to the hem of the priestly robe. So, let's start with the top. Let's start with the head. Head speaks of authority. The anointing oil does what? The anointing. Oh, God. I'm not going to finish. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to finish it. Thank you, Lord. When we are... You know what? While the demon spoke and said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? I do not know you. When you walk, God cannot get them. When you walk in this sweet unity, Charles Spurgeon says it like this, and it was so hard for me to understand it. And I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it's something like this. He says, in every believer, and it's the truth, y'all, God, we got to be delivered every day from stuff. We as believers have to be delivered every day from stuff. Because we are a culmination of things that have been poured into us all of our lives. And only God's word can deliver us and set us free. He said, every believer has an element of untruth mixed into what they believe. Love your fellow brother and sister for the good you see in them. Love your brethren for the good you see in them, but hate the evil. Not hate the person. Love
good you see in them, but hate the evil. Hate the twisted. Hate the perverted. Hate it enough to cry out to God for deliverance for them. My God. My God. He's comparing this sweet unity. Y'all, when we walk in unity with God, and I'm here to say I can't be unified with everybody. Because if you don't find the central focus of your life centered on God's word and the truth, I cannot be unified with you. But when they are your brethren and you know that they love God,
yes,
you know that they love God and they are your brethren. When you walk in this sweet unity and you love them for the good that you see in them, but you pray and you pour out your heart to God for the untruth or the twisted or the perverted thinking that you might see in them, when you choose to walk in the sweet unity, God says, God's authority will rest on your life. God's authority, like the oil poured on the head of Aaron, and it speaks of Aaron's authority. God placed him there to be the high priest. When you walk in that unity with God and fellow believers, it is the authority of God will rest on your life. When you tell the devil to flee, he will have to flee. He compares unity, harmony, to the consecrated oil that gave Aaron the authority to be in the position he was in. And God Almighty recognized his authority. That's why God said, anybody else makes this oil and uses is not called to do it, they're cut off from the community. It's a type and a picture of Christ. Okay, let's go to the beard. It started at the head, authority, and flowed down the beard. Okay, flowed down the beard. So, I looked this up. I looked this one up, beard. Here's the instructions God gave concerning the beard for the priest. Go to Leviticus 21. Leviticus 21. Are you seeing the picture?
Yes.
And once again, unity is not when we agree with one another. It's when we agree with God. Y'all, when we agree with God. Look at the Tower of Babel. They were in agreement. And God had to bring confusion to keep them from accomplishing what they wanted to do. I'm talking about a holy unity with brethren agreeing on the word of God. 21:5. The priest must not shave their heads or trim their beards or cut their bodies. They must be set apart as holy to their God and must never bring shame on the name of God. So they were not to trim their beard. God gave them an ordinance. Do not trim your beard or shave your head, because this is what God said to do. It's just what God said to do. Because they must never bring shame to the name of their God. Listen. I'm trying to bring it back around. This is what the sweet unity does. When we walk in unity, when we walk in God's kind of unity, we will have this testimony that we please God and we will never shame the name of God. Never shame. That's what he's saying here. This oil, this anointing, this sweet, this harmony, this unity that I compared to the anointing oil that starts at the head. It's like the anointing oil that starts at the head, gives you authority, goes down to the beard. You'll never bring shame on God when you walk in this unity. When you walk in this kind of unity, I'm talking about, you'll never bring shame to the name of God. Now, you might think that's a light thing, but that's an important thing, to never shame God's name.
Amen.
Because you know what that means? That means you have improperly represented God. And when there is bickering and arguing in the body of Christ, that is a shame. That is a shame to the name of God. It's a shame. It's dishonoring his name. Okay? What time is it?
1:04.
Okay. We're going to have to stop with the next one. I'm not getting on the next one's too deep. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let you just search it out. And search it out for yourself and find it for yourself. But I'm going to stop here because I don't want to, because I feel like if I keep on going, I feel like we're going to lose some of this. We're going to lose the effect that I'm really, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm really trying to paint a picture of how important it is mm-hmm. to walk in this unity and not to get into strife. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you something. It flows down. I'm not going to tell you it all. You search it up. If you find it, you keep it to yourself because I want the rest of everybody else to be surprised they didn't search it out. But I'm going to tell you something. It is not what you think. It does not mean that it flowed down to the end of his garment. It is not what it means. So just look it up and search it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you anything else about it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So do you see how God compares? Y'all, he commands his blessing. He releases his blessing out of this point. I very boldly say that that's why some people don't understand, Lord, I do have authority. Mm-hmm. Lord, I do have authority in you. I know that I have authority because Christ gave me this authority. He gave me the authority to use his name. But why isn't it working, God?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it working, God?
Mm-hmm.
Because something's out of harmony in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Something's out of harmony mm-hmm. in my life. So just go back and meditate on that this week. This is the blessing for this week. This is a picture to me of who this body is, where this body walks in harmony. We do. We walk in this sweet harmony. I believe it. This psalm represents us. It represents us. It's why God has commanded the blessing. I feel very blessed. I'm like Shirley. I feel very blessed. I feel like God has looked down from heaven. And he has just looked down from heaven. I can't say this for you. You have to say it for yourself. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for me, God just looked down from heaven and said, I'm doing something very special
Amen.
For you.
Yes.
I'm doing something very special for you. Get yes. this. Understand it.
Mm, mm, mm.
That you are, I don't do, I feel like God is saying, I don't do this for everybody.
Mm.
He has his favorites.
Mm. Mm.
Because you're willing to let me do it.
Amen.
Be open.
You're willing to let me make you different, to do it different. You're willing not to be ashamed that it's like this. That those things haven't happened yet or manifested yet. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen, amen. So I'm going to pronounce the blessing. I'm going to pronounce the blessing over us. This is a blessing, and I'm going to pronounce it out of the Passion Translation, Psalms 133. And then we will. If you've got questions, we will do it. We will take it. You know, y'all just don't know what great self-control I am practicing right now. You do not realize what great unity. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we desire, God, for this word to be a reality in our life. God, we desire to be brought higher and higher with you, God. Father, we desire for it to be a reality that it is truly wonderful and delightful. Father, when you see us as brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity, Lord, that it is as precious to you, this sweet unity that we live out of, as the sacred scented oil that flows down the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly garments. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes. Our harmony is refreshing, God. It's refreshing like the dew that falls on Mount Hermon in your precious holy land, Israel, God. That's what you compare it to, God. And we know how you love Israel, God. We know how you love Israel, how you fight for Israel, God. You compare this harmony to that dew that drips down Mount Hermon and refreshes all of Israel, God. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God, you release your eternal blessing, the promise of life to us forevermore. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Any questions or comments while I while before we go on with that part.
That the one that you said was your favorite definition of harmony.
Harmony.
What was it like? Organization.
And yeah, when different parts come together. Let me read it again. Orderly or pleasing. I just love the word pleasing.
Okay.
Pleasing arrangement of parts. A pleasing arrangement of parts. The quality.
Uh-huh.
Not quantity.
Quality.
The quality or condition of going well together.
Mm. So when you said that, the organization, the orderly, it reminded me of Numbers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And how he set up in Numbers, it's the book of organization, where he set up, this tribe is to do this, this tribe is to do this, and each tribe had to stay in their lane, and you had to be identified. I couldn't jump out of my Judah tribe and decide I was going over here to talk to Jackie. You know, God is such an organized and orderly. And if we recognize that, organized under His Spirit now, when He comes in and moves, we're not out of order when He decides
that's
to slay you over there and throw you over
that's
there.
That's right.
Okay, but He's such an organized and orderly God. And we all need to stay in you saying that. You got to stay in your lane.
Yes.
I can't do what you do.
No.
I can't do what Tammy does.
No, we can't
do what
you do.
We might think it's easy to, I don't even know how to put the music on the thing. Never mind. I'm saying. But when we all do what we are called to do and stay in our lane, nothing lacks. And there's harmony and unity. And I think that's what makes this body unique. That's the uniqueness of this body. We never try to jump over on somebody else's lane or, you know, oh, you do it. Oh, no. It's just like, we'd be happy when, I was happy when Jose went to Puerto Rico or wherever he went.
Yeah, that's right. A resident missionary. That's
excited.
Correct.
I wanted to put some money in and just.
That's right.
Wow. When he do it, he represents all
that's
of us.
Correct. That's
now,
correct.
I can't go over there. I don't speak Spanish. I wouldn't know what to do if I got there. But just to have somebody like. It's just awesome what he, what God can do with order and organization.
See, a man. Mankind, especially religious man, wants to mess up that order. They want to call it something else when it's not what it is. God has that order for our protection, actually.
He does.
It's for our protection. It's like we talked about before. He gave all the rules and regulations to keep the Jewish people from killing each other until so the Messiah could come. Yeah, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you, right? So it's for our protection. Order. It's God's orders for our protection. You got a comment, ma'am?
Yes. And I was getting ready to piggyback on what Shirley said. If you read, I think it's Leviticus or Numbers, Korah, they were in line with Aaron as from the Levite tribe to be a part of the priesthood. But they had a specific job to do.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
And they got the murmuring and grumbling. Ooh. And there were people that followed him. Now, Korah, that tribe, that family was not knocked out. But the people that followed him, God got rid of them.
My God, they messed with the unity.
Yes.
They messed with the harmony.
Yes.
They sowed discord and strife.
God, help us.
You got
and the earth opened up and swallowed them.
Is that right? No, that was Achan.
That was Achan? Yes. What happened to them? Well, something happened to Korah, though.
Korah was that the one that started murmuring and grumbling about what they could do better than Aaron.
Okay.
But see, they were also from the tribe of Levi.
Right.
But they had a specific
right
job.
Right.
And they thought that what they did wasn't important enough.
See, we let people do that to us. But what I'm trying to say is, what were the consequences of their behavior?
The consequences was not Cora, but the people that followed him
okay
got killed.
I was trying to say it wasn't when the earth opened up and swallowed them.
No, Achan was the one that stole the...
Okay. I couldn't remember what the consequences were. I couldn't remember. I thought he did too, but we'll verify.
It could have been, but they were killed.
We'll verify. Yeah, in other words, there was a consequence.
Because he gave each specific family within that tribe a job.
Yes, ma'am.
And it wasn't supposed to step away from that job.
Mm-hmm. Why every joint and ligament supplies.
So, my mama used to say, long eye, you want what somebody else got, and you just don't know how they got it. They were assigned to that particular task. Now, you had those, when you go in there and you talk about the, I think it's the, how much they bought to Levi tribe. And that this particular family was supposed to be in charge of this. But Cora, he just excited people and they just followed him because they felt that, hey, well, you know, we think you ought to be able to do these things. And that's what happened. But you got to be, like you say, unity. You cannot
agree with God.
Yeah.
You've got to agree with God.
Because
that's the dividing the line.
Yeah. Aaron's two sons thought they were doing something good by catching the ark. And God told them not to.
Not to touch it.
He destroyed it.
See, look at it this way. One of the teachers that I studied said, if it was my job to carry the pole that carried the ark, if I woke up one morning and decide that I wasn't going to carry that part of the pole, how's the ark going to... I'm just saying, that seems like a small thing, right? Mm-hmm. But there's somebody here, somebody here, somebody here and here. So your job is to carry... Oh, I don't feel like it this morning. What happens? You're going to let the whole ark fall?
Everybody down because of you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we need to be...
In our
lane and very serious about what, if you say you're going to do it.
Yeah, do it.
Be there to do it. Know what, you know, like Pastor Kathy always taught us. She said, you don't have to say yeah to everything because somebody asked you.
You can't do it.
Know what you can do.
Right.
Know your first, second, and third responsibility. I know I got to take care of Harris. Okay. And a whole lot of stuff go along with that. We don't even discuss it. But I'm saying, first responsibility. I know what I know right. what I have to do. I can't.
It's the job that God has assigned us to do. That brings unity also.
Yes, it does.
But if we decided that that ain't the job we want to do because I want to look big in everybody else's sight, well, I'm going to fail at it.
But see, this is the thing I'm getting at too. Who has told us that one position is better than another? Who has made us to think? What lie have we believed that one doing one thing in the body was more important than the other or more prestigious? Man has done that. Man has done that. And that's not what God. And the thing about it, and you have something, but let me say this.
I was just going to say, the prophet has said, the apostles, apostles are the lowest form. So what?
Yes, a doormat.
Oh, he's an apostle.
It's a door means you're a doormat.
When she said that, I went, okay.
An apostle is first a disciple. A disciple is a taught one. Before you can be an apostle, a sent one. Apostle is simply a sent one. You're sent out. You're sent out. And like Paul's an apostle. He said, I'm a doormat. He said, basically, I've become a doormat for you. For your sake, that you grow, I become that, the least of all.
It's just time.
But the thing about it is, and we'll wrap it up with this, when it all comes down, if you're secure to who you are in Christ, you can do anything and be secure.
Amen.
That what you do does not define who you are.
That's right.
What you do is not who you are.
Amen. Amen.
Who you are is who you are.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So let's pronounce the Arianic blessing, and then we're going to move on. We're going to have a treat. Okay, here we go. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, who exists, kneel before you, presenting gifts. Yahweh, kneel before you, presenting gifts. And keep you. May Yahweh, he who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May he protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, he who exists, illuminate the wholeness of his being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. And be gracious to you. May Yahweh, he who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. May Yahweh, he who exists, lift up and carry his wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that he is to your aid, supporting you with his entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, he who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete so that you can walk in victory moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May he give you supernatural health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfection, fullness, rest, harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. In Jesus' name, amen.